Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This podcast is brought to you by Modern Superior and our Patreon account. You can head to modernsuperior.com or patreon.com/modernsuperior and pledge today to support independent podcasters like us. So go do it. It's fun. You'll love it. Episode 270 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode is dropping on Wednesday, May 31st, 2017. My name is Dan Gorman, and I simply imagine that my skeleton is me and my body is my house. That way, I'm always home.
My name is Casey Lyons, and if he's crazy, he's crazy like a fox with mental problems.
My name is Greg LeGros, and what? This? Oh, no. I was at a costume party earlier this evening, and the hostess's dog attacked me, so I had to stab it.
What is that from?
30 Rock.
Yes, yes.
Dr. Spichimin.
Yeah. We have tons of stuff to talk about this week. If you'd like to email about us about anything you've heard on the show or any opinions you have about the things that we talk about, you can do so at info@modernsuperior.com. You can go to modernsuperior.com, listen to our show and many others. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC, where we post lots of fun stuff for you to look at. And most importantly, you can go to iTunes and you can rate and review us. Which brings us to our first bit of housekeeping.
Yes.
Thank you to our latest iTunes reviewer, Kelsey Sharp.
Oh, my goodness.
Gave us a 5-star review.
A wonderful one. And as if those 5 stars weren't enough, wrote one of the loveliest reviews
ever.
Yeah. Just made my day.
Yeah. I really needed to hear it today.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that people can sense that we're pretending to be friends.
Yeah.
I thought it was very funny that she wrote that. And I guess they can really feel the contempt.
We've really worked at selling a pretend friendship.
Yeah.
But that you can tell is pretend.
I want people to know that I'm barely holding it together.
Yeah, I know. Casey and I have been pretending to be friends for nearly 20 years.
It's been almost 20 years.
And finally, someone has recognized our hard work.
I remember the first day I saw you at school, I was like,
well, we made that let's make a pretend friendship pact.
No words were spoken, but teeth were gritted.
People don't know we do record this in separate rooms of the same house.
We refuse to be in the same room.
Thank you again. It was a really nice email. Our sweet iTunes review, and it really made our day.
Yeah.
And if anyone else, any of the rest of you want to be as good listener
making
as Kelsey,
our day.
Then you can go to iTunes and review it up.
It's very helpful.
Yes.
Tell us,
it makes us feel real nice.
Yeah. Later in the show, we will be doing some film roulette. As always, it was a winner's choice role this week, and the loser had to see Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, but this week it was losers because I saw Alien last week and I wasn't supposed to, so I bit the bullet and I went to the new Pirates film with
Greg. The loser and the naughty cheater.
Yeah. So Casey has a movie he's going to talk about. I'm going to join in on the losing film.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to talk about an album by Prince as well as the Punishment album. Not so Punishment album, in my opinion. We'll see about what these dudes think.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that in Film Roulette, it's new news.
New news.
And movies we've been watching. And more.
Yeah.
As always, off the top of the show, we talk about movies and news and things we've been watching otherwise.
Yeah.
The only thing I wrote down in my personal notes this week for news was Paddington trailer, Paddington 2 trailer.
Yeah.
Was there one? I didn't know there was a Paddington 2 or a trailer.
Now listen. Yeah.
Okay.
Paddington 2, the trailer, isn't like, oh, I'm so excited for it as a movie, but based entirely upon the first film, which is a near masterpiece in my opinion.
It was, I think that it movie was one of my top three favorite movies that year.
So good.
Same team and everything, same director?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure on that. The trailer for the second one, it's a very short trailer. It's about a minute. It basically establishes that there's a new movie starring Paddington, and he gets his foot stuck in a bucket, and it's very charming. it's not the kind of trailer where you're like, oh, well, this is gonna blow my mind, but I'm just like, more Paddington, give me it. And I'm so excited for it, just because I love that first movie so much.
It's terrific.
Yeah, and I kind of imagine they'll put out another trailer that's maybe a bit more of a trailer. This one kind of almost felt like a teaser trailer, which I think maybe it was. I'm not sure.
Right.
But I want to see it because I love Paddington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first movie was Paul King
again.
Okay.
So that's pretty dope.
Oh, that's
there
good.
You go.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that needs to retain the
creative
team.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was such a singular vision for something that was Paddington.
Yeah, seriously.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy how good it was.
And I kind of mostly just wanted to bring it up to remind people, if you've never seen Paddington, if you were like, oh, it's a kid's movie, and you saw
it's
a kid's movie.
For a second, you were Ethel Merman, you said kid's movie.
Like, the poster was like, he's surfing down a wave on the stairs. What a wacky guy.
Surfing on a wave of whimsy.
Yeah. Watch that movie because it is fucking amazing.
It's so wonderful.
Yeah, it will make your heart smile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it again because I haven't seen it since that first time.
Yeah.
So that was my news that I wanted to bring in. Paddington 2 trailer. Check it out. Watch the original.
Yeah.
Good.
Did you guys have anything from your personal dockets?
Yeah, I saw that there are a bunch of think pieces written. Trying to figure out why Baywatch failed so enormously despite having The Rock in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't really think it's a mystery.
They wrapped up.
Is anyone surprised that it wasn't good and no one wanted it?
And they wrapped up that.
Let's start to wonder why Chips didn't work.
Right. Or why this has never worked. Yeah. Why Starsky and Hutch didn't work. Why the A-Team didn't work. Why McHale's Navy didn't work.
Because they're making fun of the fucking source material, first of all.
Why Dukes of Hazzard didn't work.
I don't have a lot of allegiance for Baywatch. I didn't really watch it or anything.
But it looked like they were going for...
It's on its face silly enough.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a show that took itself seriously.
That's why it was funny to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but like, they were going for a Jump Street thing, right? Like, they were going for a, like, we need to capture that lightning again where it's like we're taking something.
Absolutely.
Aren't we stinkers? We're doing Baywatch, but like with
but
a wink.
Also, aren't you not Chris Miller and Phil Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's, again, 21 Jump Street is such an anomaly. Should not have worked.
No.
Yeah.
But they did it the right way. I don't know who wanted this. Clearly no one.
Mm-hmm.
And not even having The Rock in it is going to help.
Yeah. I saw some of those articles.
Don't waste my time with The Rock.
Yeah.
Waste The Rock's time with this bullshit.
I need Central Intelligence 2.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Yeah. My thing with that, I saw a couple articles where they were saying basically Baywatch didn't do well, and they were kind of rolling it up with, and Pirates also didn't do as well as you would expect.
Yeah. Well, listen, Pirates is also breaking records worldwide.
Yes.
It's going to have one of the biggest openings of all time.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
They were saying, like...
Baywatch, no.
Yeah.
No one anywhere wants it.
They were kind of saying, oh, does this you know, not bode well for the summer movie, you know, franchise fatigue. And then there was a lot of tweets that were like, it's May.
Yeah, it is May. And no, it just it doesn't bode well for more half-baked, overdone fucking ideas for movies that maybe we're tired of seeing.
Maybe it
make
could put
good
to bed
movies.
Yeah, maybe it could put to bed movies that nobody wanted to see to begin with.
Yeah.
How many?
Sure.
Is this the sixth Pirates movie? Fifth?
I think it's the fifth.
It's the
whatever.
Fifth,
yeah. Too fucking many. It's been like 14 years of this shit.
I'm seeing a lot of fans on Twitter that are
listen,
saying it's just great.
We'll get to the Pirates talk when we get
fair enough.
Yeah. All right.
Because we got some things to say about that movie. But yeah, I feel like we definitely have hit peak those kind of movies in the sense of like the Baywatch, the Chips, especially with Chips happening fairly recently, and then Baywatch right after.
Well, it's just
nobody cares.
It's just throwing the name on a dumb thing. They don't get it. Like, the A-Team was a big fuck up. The A-Team could have worked.
Yeah.
But I feel like
they didn't put... Sorry, go ahead.
They at least tried. They at least tried.
Close. Yeah, they definitely put an effort.
To make it...
It's not the worst movie.
No, but they didn't put enough effort in the one place you have to put all of your effort. When you think of the A-Team, what do you think of? You think of Mr. fucking T.
Yeah.
That's the role you have to focus on.
Yeah.
Not hire a UFC guy to do.
Yeah.
You can't just sweep it under the rug and be like, nobody's Mr. T. Find somebody.
Yeah.
But that's such a singular thing. Like, that's why it's not going to work. Don't find somebody, because it's like, don't find somebody to play Pee Wee Herman.
No.
If it's not Paul Reubens.
Don't play
someone to pretend to be Mr. T.
No, but
you have to
if you gave Terry Crews a mohawk.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
you fit on the one person that I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
But not even that.
That's the central character. You base your whole movie on BA, man. Yeah.
But even if you had just like...
Drug him with milk already.
Right?
like even if you had somebody like The Rock in... Like somebody you have to... Like I know what Greg means. Like you need that charismatic center to the movie where there's going to be a larger-than-life character that's going to be the... Even if it's not... supposed to be the same character. If it's just like he fills that slot we're gonna cut to him when we need the laughs, and he's gonna steal the show. But it's run by who was it? Who was the main guy in the movie? Was it
Neeson?
Yeah, Liam Neeson. Yeah, like he's gonna
who played Murdoch again? Oh, it was Charlton Copley.
Yeah.
And I think he's great.
The effort was like it could have been.
Who was Face Man?
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
Yeah, no, it's all fine, but you're missing the key thing.
You're missing the
thing.
Bigger, you need that kind of a character.
That's like, hey, man, look, I have the most delicious ice cream you'll ever have, but it's not frozen.
Yeah.
That is a weird place to take.
I don't know.
But I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Because you're like, these ingredients are my favorite ingredients ever, and these flavors are my favorite, but this isn't how I want it.
No.
And yet it did make me feel uncomfortable. Let's not gloss over that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And even having Joe Carnahan direct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It seems like a good idea.
Sure, sure. But you got to...
Smoking aces aside.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think... Yeah,
If you're going to make a Baywatch movie work, you don't go get the most popular, most built, fucking awesome action star in the world to play your lead. Find me someone washed up. If Baywatch starred Steven Seagal or Van Damme, he's not washed up. He's still in great shape and still attempts to do something with his movies. But something like that, if you'd gotten me an 80s guy who wasn't the guy anymore.
Yeah.
If you
threw him in the lead in Baywatch.
Hasselhoff is
absolutely
in the perfect position
totally.
To do this again.
Yeah.
Sure, put other people around him because, you know, nobody wants Pam Anderson back because she was great or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, surround him with new people.
Yeah.
But put fucking Hasselhoff back in because I feel like he could do some stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He could do some fun resurgence stuff.
I'd wonder if anyone out there listening saw Baywatch, email us what you thought of it.
Yeah, let us know.
We're trashing a movie we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard it was just awful.
I've heard there are moments. I've heard it's... Yeah. Sorry. I've heard it's not as bad as you think it's going to be.
I see.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the consensus I heard was from a few people that didn't outright hate it were like, it's so weird like that you have to just be like, wow. That was weirder than I thought it would be.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I guess is props in its own right.
Sure.
But yeah. I don't know. We've had a peak of those, especially, like I said, with chips.
Right. Ugh.
Coming out to a collective sigh. Casey, did you have any news you wanted to talk about?
Let's see. I thought this was just worth a mention, at least. Because I just think it's kind of a cool thing to do. Neil Blomkamp is doing something interesting. He, under his Oats Studios.
Yes.
He's producing a series of short films.
Right.
That are his own sort of specific artistic vision.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Which I think is a great idea for him. Yes. Because I feel like studio intervention hasn't done him any favors with things like Elysium and stuff.
Right.
So I don't know. I think this is a really cool place to start. Like, he's almost going kind of Robert Rodriguez-y with his career.
Do you think getting nominated for Best Picture was maybe the worst thing that could have happened to him coming off District 9?
I don't know.
Like, does that change?
I think
what
a
kind
to
of
the nuts might have been worse.
It might change your perspective about yourself, but also like change the way you're handled and where you're trying to make a science fiction film, and then what the expectation is every time you put something out. You know?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I think it could be. But I feel like Elysium sort of had lofty goals that it really fell short of because it was just a really uneven and boring movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And dumb.
And super dumb. Yeah. Super dumb. And pointless.
I feel like with his movies, and I mentioned
Chappie
this
was great though.
I mentioned this in the Slack because I believe Alba Watterson posted this in the movies channel, which you can get access to through our Patreon. Mm-hmm. Wink.
People are loving our Slack.
Yeah, get in that Slack.
It. It's delightful.
Yeah. So I said to her, I feel like this is a good move for him because both Chappie and Elysium feel like great ideas that didn't quite make it to the stretched out feature length. And Jeremy of Drink Along said, well, Chappie was a short film.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think like maybe his ideas like are better in that form, because when I think of Elysium and I think of how kind of blunt and obvious a lot of that like political stuff and a lot of that social and class stuff, you can get away with it being a very simple, very blunt thing if it's a 15-minute movie.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the rich are up here and just down here. Like, you can just, like, because you
little,
don't have,
yeah.
It's easier to kind of swallow because it's you're not sitting there for 90 minutes thinking, like, okay, I fucking get it.
But I got it before I got here.
But I feel like all of that was handled much more elegantly with District 9, because District 9 is very social commentary and very kind of in your face about it. But there's also a fun and interesting story going on along with it. And I feel like he might have had a lot more of himself in District 9.
Sure.
Yeah.
And a lot more of other people's money and things like Elysium and Chappie.
Yeah, yeah,
although,
yeah.
Again, Chappie's great.
Yeah. Did you see Chappie?
No.
We got to get a third opinion on that.
I did start it.
Okay.
But I fell asleep. But
we need a Gregulus.
Quite a while ago.
We need a Gregulus.
Yeah. All right.
I'm curious. I've seen it twice.
So, you've seen it twice, eh?
I've seen it twice. It's great.
And yeah, okay. All right. I'll definitely watch it. Yeah.
So I think that this is a fun way for him to kind of go, like after the whole Alien debacle.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's just kind of like, okay, fuck everything.
Just doing my own thing.
Back to what I wanted, my original vision. And I think this is really commendable.
Yeah. I still have a considerable amount of interest in anything he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that our listeners wanted to talk about in the news.
On our Facebook page at SYNWPC.
James Witt wanted to know our take on Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Which I was really late to the party on
Me
that
too.
One. I just started watching it at some point this year, and I'm only about four episodes into it.
I started watching it just after we did the little modern superior cottage weekend.
Yes. David Follows brought some episodes along.
Yeah, yeah. And I went, oh my.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
So good.
But not only funny, really interesting.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fucking win on every... It's a show that I watch and I kind of go like... Oh, I need to devote some time to this.
Yeah,
I wish
yeah.
I had time.
Because I haven't seen everything.
I wish my life belonged to me again.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that I could just sit and waste a couple of days just going through that.
Yeah. And like the hype and like rabid nature of the fan base for it, I think is wholly earned.
Absolutely.
Because you don't get something this uniquely perfect.
It's interesting because this is an Adult Swim thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Adult Swim really started to go off the, look at how weird we're being now. Yeah, it's so weird. And at the expense of cool storylines and stuff like this. But this show has legitimately fantastic storylines.
Totally.
And interesting characters, and it's all really well executed.
Wonderful quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just seriously, just really nicely written.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't devoted enough time to it.
No.
Because maybe I'll start to hate it. Who knows?
I need to watch more. But the burping gets to me. I'm just like, this is so gross.
Yeah, the gross barf on his mouth kind of gets to me sometimes. Yeah.
It's so consistent,
it's
though.
So very consistent and beautifully so. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way, once in a while, I'm just like... and I'm swimming in a sea of children barfing on me all day.
For sure.
So I should be used to it, but...
Yeah. So that was our discussion on Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Sarah B from the UK wanted to mention the absolute clusterfuck that is the new Spider-Man Homecoming poster. Did you guys see that?
I did.
It's hilarious.
It did
insane.
It led to some great photoshops though.
It really did.
Really good.
There's a Twitter really had its way with it.
You posted a fucking beautiful one that has that weird agape mouth Batman picture.
And Trump
the
and,
orb.
Trump in the orb, and then up in the corner, my favorite part, Pauly Shore doing his arm thing. Dude is like, whoa,
wonderful. It was so crazy,
so weird
because it's so bad, but also it's like they had been just hitting every mark so beautifully with Spider-Man,
including posters.
The
last poster was great.
The first one with him lying on his back, the headphones on. It was just so fucking too cool for school, easy breezy, just nailing it. This is like, what in the fuck is happening here?
I don't even know what they're going for.
I know,
with
it's
this.
Such a it's, mess. It's so unpleasant to look at.
It really is. Like the composition of it.
Is
it's
ugly
like,
as
why
fuck.
Is everybody in the corner?
Even aside from how much Iron Man they've thrown at this thing.
Yeah, they throw
like,
Tony Stark and
settle
him
down.
And Iron
it's
Man
fucking
on it.
Spider-Man. He's going to do okay.
Yeah.
The whole, like, the whole reason that they made an Iron Man movie is because Spider-Man was already such a huge success. I know that this is different things than tying in Marvel Universe, blah, blah, blah. But they don't need Tony Stark's face all over this fucking movie. And again, Twitter had a lot of fun with that, too.
Yeah.
But what an ugly pile of shit that fucking poster is.
It looks like the kind of poster that I feel like if I was to think of why would they have made this poster this way, it would be for like the multiplexes. It looks like the multiplex poster.
Yes, but
even from far away, I can see that's Tony Stark, and I'll see it, and those are the people.
It looks like somebody in an art class in high school, like, make a multiplex poster.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the teacher's going to come around and go, okay, interesting.
I
but
can
why,
still
is,
see the lines
why is everything
around
in the corner?
Why is everybody in that one corner? Yeah. Why are there three instances of Michael Keaton?
Why do you have all your characters here twice?
Pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Just a shame.
It represents the duality of the superhero mode.
Oh.
That was the student, I guess. He's got mental problems.
Another one really quickly was David Follows mentioned the Castlevania trailer for Netflix. Is this something that's on your radar?
No, what's that?
Kind of.
So the...
It's a video game. I know that.
Yeah.
It is a video that I played the fuck out of. The original version is what I played the
on
fuck
the
out
NES.
Of. Yeah.
Me too.
A very hard game.
So hard.
Really, really hard. Isn't hard, then the hardest.
Yeah.
I feel like I really gave up on that game. I borrowed it from a friend and I was like, oh, fuck this dumb game.
I put a few... really intense campaigns on Castlevania.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And very hard.
See, I thought when I got, I thought it was Transylvania 65,000, okay. And I thought I was in for a real
treat.
This
game is underrated. Yeah.
Until that one guy starts saying the N-word.
the 80s.
Yeah.
This movie's sort of for kids.
So they are making a Netflix animated series. It's going to be an anime
series.
First
I heard they were making a series, and I was like, Dynamite! They're like, animated. I was like, well.
Yeah, and it's an anime series.
Yeah.
All I know of it is the trailer.
Yeah.
And the trailer kind of, they're really harping back on the NES nostalgia. It starts with, like, a cartridge and stuff and inserting. And I feel like it's too early to tell with that trailer.
Yeah, me too.
But could be really cool. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just not a big anime guy.
Yeah, so, I'm pretty selective with my...
I will say, Netflix has recently, I feel like, started to push a little bit more into the anime. I know they just put out a couple new shows on as Netflix originals that are anime, and I like to see that. I think that's cool.
They've had a fairly decent selection when Netflix first really blew up. Not first, but, you know... started to push the video stores and cable down into the ground. I was like, oh, they have a lot of anime. They really understood that there's a draw for that and had things that are going to become huge properties now, like Death Note. Death Note's been on Netflix for like 6 years.
And they're making
so they're at least aware of it, so I think it's cool that it did this. It's not really like I don't chase down anime very much, but I will check it out.
Yeah,
but I'm not like crazy excited, honestly.
Maybe
it's because I never beat the game. Like, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah. No, I'm interested. Castlevania on Netflix. I feel like we gotta wait. See some more of this thing.
Yeah.
This is gonna be a real one if people push me to see it. Like if there's like, oh my god, it's the best thing ever, and I'm like, fine.
I'm gonna need some positive reinforcement.
Yeah. Otherwise, I don't care.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you guys wanted to talk about before we get into movies?
Somebody else posted on our little thing-a-ding here. Also, David follows the New Mutants film that's coming up is apparently being pushed as a horror film.
Yeah.
No costumes.
Is it? I saw it. I just glanced briefly across it. Is it Brian Fuller? There was Brian Fuller news because apparently they're doing more Hannibal, which is fucking dope because that show was awesome.
Really, really great.
More on Brian Fuller soon. is it him? Does he have anything to do with it?
Yes.
I have no idea.
I'm just confirming that as a fact before I say yes, because I'm quite certain, but at the same time, I had other things on my mind with this.
And I think it was posted on a blog that had like a bunch of news, so it might have just been beside other news.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
That may have bled together.
Josh Boone.
Okay.
Is making
Booners.
Yeah.
I'm doing
Boonsies.
Boonie. No costumes, no supervillains. We're trying to do something very, very different. And it is rumored to be inspired by the run of comics from writer Chris Claremont and artist Bill Sienkiewicz. I don't know how to say it. Anyway. Leaning on Chris Claremont, nothing wrong with that. That's always a wise move.
Okay.
And now there is, I don't know if this was in the article or perhaps David Follows himself, wondering if it was going to kind of focus on Claremont was really good at having these issues that would be just single instance stories with somebody's left at the X mansion alone.
Okay.
And something bizarre happens there, and it's this like contained story. And Claremont was so good at it, and having it reflect on the bigger arc of the X-Men world. And there's a reason that he wrote that fucking comic book for as long as he did, and in basically shaped everything that we love about comics for an era.
Sweet.
You know? He is more important to comics, I would boldly say, than Frank Miller is.
Damn.
So he had a way of storytelling and bringing the reader in and making you feel comfortable and really excited about the worlds he created. So if they're going to lean on Claremont, absolutely fantastic, because his stuff was very cinematic in its scope. So I don't know. No costumes, no supervillain. Cool. Do something different, because
yeah,
we're all feeling the burnout, man.
Yeah, that's my reaction as somebody that doesn't know the minutia of that stuff. Although yeah, that sounds super interesting.
Although no costumes always bums me out. I'm like,
yeah,
lazy.
Yeah. I don't find that. Like I just find it stylistically dumb. I'm just like, it feels like you're just trying to be too cool for costumes or something.
Yeah. I'm like, no, we like the fucking costumes.
Yeah. You don't even have to justify them. Just have these people really like costumes.
I think it'll depend on the world.
Yeah.
It'll depend on the world that they build, because I can definitely see if they're going for a certain style, costumes not fitting it. Like if you just shoved costumes into this thing that's like a really like realistic kind of like, I don't know, like story and world and characters, I feel like it might just stick out like a sore thumb
Not if you're going with powers, man. I don't know. Listen, I'm sure whatever, if it's the right way to go with the Vision, fine. Yeah. But generally, I'm just do the thing.
Yeah.
When I read very few times when I would read comics and they didn't get, you know, even if it's a great issue and Wolverine didn't suit up, I'd be like, I wish he would have worn the thing.
That's a
just
because
when I was reading it, I like to look at the fucking pictures.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
That's half the thing. The image of it is. Yeah.
That's why
important.
Comics are comics.
That's right.
And not novels.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah. The only like super successful run of no costume was the was Daredevil.
And that was the run where he couldn't find his costume.
Yeah, guys,
where is it?
Stop hiding it.
I cannot see where my costume could possibly be.
It's funny because it was taped to his ceiling.
Yeah.
It was a prank.
Yeah. Foggy.
Yeah.
He was wearing it the whole time.
There you go. Right.
There you go.
That was the Mutants, New Mutants?
New Mutants.
Yeah.
Mutants.
Television series.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Which had like a very dark energy to the initial run of that franchise.
I just like, hopefully, yeah, I'm excited. I like the idea of just make it different and I'll see what it's about.
The Daredevil run I was talking about is called Born Again. You can buy it as a trade paperback, and if you have never read it,
all right, settle down, nerd.
Whatever. Most of the people who listen
want to
give a fuck about this.
Oh, absolutely. There were people who were sitting there going, either
which one did he mean?
Or what was it called?
Yeah,
because you might have been thinking about the Frank Miller run where, actually, both things are Frank Miller, but Frank Miller run where it's the Daredevil's first year being Daredevil, and he's running around in the black tracksuit, which was a lot of the inspiration for the TV series, but no. Born Again is the superior storyline.
Did you say plaid tracksuit?
Black.
Oh, black tracksuit.
Do you guys want to talk about some movies we've been watching?
Yeah.
Television series?
Yeah,
okay. Might as well.
Who wants to go first? Casey, you have been saying over and over again that you've got a television show you need to talk about.
Yes.
I feel like if we don't get to you, you're going to burst.
I'm probably going to shit my pants.
Yeah.
Yes, I have been forsaking all other shows because Myas and I started watching American Gods.
Nice. Oh, boy, am I curious about this.
I've been meaning to watch it as well.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Let me tell you a little interesting tidbit about this show.
Yeah.
It's the fucking best. It is the fucking best, you guys.
Yeah.
It's crazy good.
Yeah.
I read about a quarter of this book.
Okay.
Disappointingly had to put it down and then stopped reading altogether. So
I have to put this down because I don't want to read ever again.
Because I can't read. Because I can't read no more.
I
got crosswords on my telephone now.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Listen, I hate myself. I'm a real piece of shit because I can't read anymore. But
I've been telling myself I'm going to start reading.
Me too.
Oh, like absolutely. I've been telling myself that since I stopped reading.
Yeah. I used to read so much.
Me too.
So
I feel
much.
Like we're all
where
in
did
the
I
same.
Find the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like books after books after books. So I just read them.
Yeah. My God, I read a lot of books in a short period of time. And now? Like,
never.
Once every maybe 4 years.
I keep saying to Emma, like, we'll make it a thing. We'll go to bed an hour earlier than usual.
Oh, yeah.
And, and then
I've
I'm like, oh, no, never happens.
No. So that happened, unfortunately, to this book. And so pretty quickly, they used up the subject matter that I was aware of.
Yeah.
And it just dove into all of this new and very wonderful and very weird stuff. There are many, many boners in this show. And straight up, hey, look, I'm looking directly at a boner right now.
Yeah.
It's very graphic. And
I saw a clip of a sex scene.
Oh, I've heard about the sex scene.
Was it the sex scene?
I've heard about that one.
Well, that's what I thought, but then apparently there's some other sex scene, too.
There's a pretty definitive sex
scene. I've heard
scene
about
that,
the definitive one.
That I knew about because I read that in the book, and I was like, how are they going to do that? And then they did it, and I was like, yep, that's how you do that.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy.
It is goddamn fucking great. And it's fucking perfectly cast to the point where you see the cast list and you're like, did you say Dane Cook? and then Dane Cook shows up and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess so. Uh-huh. Ian McShane is fucking perfect.
Well, yeah.
Pitch perfect. Crispin Glover, pitch perfect. Gillian Anderson, fucking fantastic.
The clips
and
I've
she
seen
has
of her.
A lot to do.
Oh, great. I got to get on this show immediately.
Yeah, me too.
Holy crap, you guys. It is so fucking good. Like, I don't want to tell you too much more about it. It's hyper violent, and there's some really wonderful violence. To the point where there were points where I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I can handle that. Just a win in every column.
Nice.
Yeah.
American Gods.
American Gods.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Get into it.
I gotta get on that immediately.
Stars is really making a bid, you guys, for legitimacy.
Cool.
How many stars would you give it?
Oh, 3.5.
There you go.
I'm just kidding. It's 5 stars, and that's out of 4.
Greg, what have you been watching this week?
I didn't see a ton this week.
All right.
I did rewatch Prometheus.
All right.
Oh. I wanted to watch it after seeing after Alien seeing Covenant. We all enjoyed it.
And we had a chat the week prior.
Right, because you had just rewatched it. Yeah. I've seen it a couple of times already, but Athena had not seen it since we saw it in theaters in 2012 or whatever. And just before we got to Alien Covenant, she was like, I don't really remember Prometheus. Is that going to be a problem? And I was like, I don't think so.
Probably not.
And then Covenant was happening. I'm like, oh, dear.
Yeah.
There are many things. But I still, like, I think Covenant was still watchable on its own thing. You can kind of remember little bits. And so we rewatched Prometheus because I had it on my brain from our conversation and then enjoying Covenant quite a bit. We had to watch it over a couple of nights because, I don't know, we're parents. We're tired. We fall asleep during movies.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to kind of, she was going through all of the growing pains of the original watch of it where you're like, that doesn't make any sense. What about this?
Yeah.
And but it rounded out to then finally getting there to where you do at the end, and she quite enjoyed it, and I did it again as well. And there are, I can see, I remember where I had the problems and stuff.
Yeah.
The more you watch it, you're like, well, clearly there's more to this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, clearly something else happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And then some things too, like I was really, really looking at the scene. Like, one thing I couldn't argue with people was, like, Charlize Theron's death.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, watching it now, and I was watching it very critically, and I'm like, that thing is huge. It's not a bicycle tire rolling down where one mild right turn is going to change anything. And also, there is shit flying everywhere. There is debris and things exploding, and they have space helmets on, which really limits your ability to have peripheral vision. They are running carelessly for their lives.
Yes, exactly.
In panic.
Yeah, and in that situation, I don't know what I would do.
No,
well, that's the thing. People are sitting in their seats going, well, clearly what you would do is this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
looking at that, like, really critically, I'm like, no, listen, this turn to the left nonsense, forget it.
Because she does turn and get away.
She's zigzagging all over
the place.
And then
it falls on her.
And then she loses her footing, and she's panicking, trying to get up, like, crawling backwards. Yeah.
That's one of those things.
It doesn't have time. Yeah. And it just happens too fast.
It's a movie. Nobody can ever say, like, oh, if that was me, I would have done this. It's like, oh, yeah, but you're running from a murderer or you're running from a monster or whatever. It's a fucking movie.
And if it was you wouldn't be there because you're not smart enough to go to space, you fucking idiot.
You would have already died, dickweed.
Yeah.
It's fun to call people I don't know dickweed.
Yeah, you fucking ding-dongs.
There was like a thread, there was like a Birth Movies Death post or something, and I rarely comment on things.
Yeah.
But this one guy was posting like the same thing on everyone's post, and it was about Prometheus. And so I finally, like, I never do this, but I was just like, I replied to the guy and I was like, I'm sorry that your inability to overlook logic flaws has stopped you from enjoying this movie.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's not just logic flaws, the whole movie's a piece of shit. And then I just never responded. But yeah, I'm just like, listen, like, even if I agreed with everything everyone ever said, it's just like, I was at a certain point, you just, if the movie you like, if you like, enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Just or, get over
if
some of the dumb
like
little
it, man.
Things.
Hey, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly, people enjoy Avatar.
Yeah.
I brought this up weeks ago, and I was like, where's the call of the Avatar fan?
Yeah.
No one has said anything because they don't exist. No one wants more Avatar movies. No.
I really saw Avatar. No, this was back when I enjoyed drugs.
Yeah, yeah. I was not a weed smoker at the time anymore. It had ended, but I definitely got a little high for Avatar.
Yeah, I think we saw it together, actually. Yeah,
Dynamite.
It was
super neato.
So much fun in the theater.
Yes.
I haven't seen it again since.
I fucking dare you. I fucking dare you to try and watch Avatar.
Yeah.
I dare you to watch more than 40 minutes.
It's
insane.
I don't,
that movie is so fucking... You have no idea how bad it is.
I won't. That's the thing.
Because it's so bad. It's mind-blowing.
I had a lovely time. The one thing that keeps going through my mind is unobtainium. And that's that has to be one of the dumbest words I've ever heard.
But I also, other than the a couple of visual key notes, can you remember anything about that movie?
Absolutely nothing. Other than I found when their tails would intertwine, I found it a little gross.
It was disgusting.
Yeah. I also found it gross.
Yeah.
I also was very grossed out by it.
And not aroused.
And I didn't get a boner.
No boners. Seriously, it's a really bad movie.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Somebody defend it. I want to know who's like excited 6 or 7 years later. Because we're not even getting Avatar 2 until 2020.
Yeah,
that is. And then there's three more after that.
It's insane.
That's so fucking stupid.
Just James Cameron, just go live at the bottom of the ocean.
Make another True Lies movie or something.
Yeah,
for the love
or just
of Christ.
Another movie that's as good as True Lies.
Yeah, just go have a good time, buddy. Stop trying to. All right,
just go see what Tom Arnold's doing.
Get that guy in a good movie again.
Yeah.
So did it. Final thoughts on Prometheus, Greg?
I think it's terrific.
Yeah.
I don't know what I like. I think I like. I think I like Covenant better.
Yeah,
in some ways, Prometheus looks better. Prometheus is overwhelmingly beautiful.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Covenant isn't quite as visually. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's shot.
Yeah,
splendidly.
It's just different.
But there are these shots in Prometheus that are just like, oh my god!
And they all kind of lock together.
Yeah, it's really something. But the characters, like the group dynamic of character, is done better in Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional arcs are more well thought out, or at least more well shot.
Yeah. Yeah,
anyway.
It's tough. I gotta go Prometheus.
I love them. Having the two of them together, I can't wait to go bang bang and watch them both.
Yeah,
you know, that's gonna be really good, and I can't wait for more. I know it didn't make quite the money they wanted it to, but I would imagine that won't stop Ridley Scott from making.
I doubt it. Yeah.
I know he was talking about having a few more, but at least maybe one more to wind up this story.
Yeah.
And again, I love that the aliens are not, this is not about them anymore. They're there. It's this thing that runs around through these movies, but this is absolutely about the robots.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Nice. Prometheus. Double down.
Bang.
Yeah, there you go. I watched something this week that I want to talk about.
Yeah?
Yes.
What's
a film.
I'm very interested to hear about this because, again, your response to it that I've heard has been interestingly cryptic.
I watched A Cure for Wellness.
Oh, I watched that, too.
Okay.
Oh.
Casey, did you watch it?
I was just about to, but then there was a new episode of American Gods, and I was like, I'm going to do this instead.
So this movie, 2016, Gore Verbinski, who we... kind of teased when this movie trailer came out about it saying a visionary director.
Yeah.
And some of our listeners were like, hey, he kind of is. And I agree.
I think he's a visually interesting director.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
End of sentence.
So this is a movie, yes, 2016, starring Dane DeHaan and a number of other people. It kind of came into theaters and went with middling to lesser reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the reviews saying, like, this is cripplingly long and not very good, and so I avoided it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched it, and I loved it.
Really?
Oh,
it sounds like we've got divergent opinions.
I think so.
Because I watched it and did not love it.
I was into it the whole way through.
I wasn't, because I was never bored.
Oh,
really?
Never.
I was very bored.
I wasn't bored in a single scene.
Oh, many.
of 140 something minutes.
Yeah, it is a long
movie.
With many borings. This is way out of your 80 minute range.
Way out. No, I loved it.
Very bored a lot. And there was a lot of that. I was like, okay. Okay. Now, okay, I ask you this. Did you legitimately like it, or did you... This has gotten insanely stupid.
No, I'm
because there's a
confused
thing. Eventually, some stuff happens, and I was like...
Yeah, and when that stuff happens, I was like, no, good, because this is where you've kind of... The whole movie, to me, is Gore Verbinski's kind of like modern telling of a gothic horror movie. It's very much like he's going to the spooky, foggy castle, and it's very...
Scary.
Yeah, and it is... I do think, I will say, uh-huh. I think this movie is derivative in a lot of... the sort of top level, like he's going to a castle. It's very like a lot.
There's a lot of other movies.
Exactly. I agree.
And listen, that's okay.
That's totally okay.
Are any of them Rango?
No. A lot of people have said, like, you know, Shutter Island.
Very Shutter Island.
And my thing about this movie,
I like Shutter Island.
Me too.
And my thing about this movie and Shutter Island is that it takes a kind of story and a kind of story that's like kind of derivative and contains, again, the building blocks of other movies.
Yeah.
And tells it in a really satisfying way for me. And okay. I felt like this movie from the start was a kind of like that gothic thing. So when it got to the like insane stuff at the end, I was like, no, yeah, because this is that kind of a movie.
Yeah.
And I was on board the whole time.
Yeah, I was like, this is that kind of a movie?
There's one thing where it goes a little too far with it, and I was like, I don't think we needed to go that far in scene.
Yeah, I agree. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It gets a little graphic with that scene, and I'm like, you don't need to go that far
to sell that angle.
But other than that, I was like, no, this is great. And I had a blast with this movie.
I didn't have a blast. I had a terrible time.
Oh.
Not a terrible time, because I was very like, holy fuck. It ended and I was just like, what in the sweet fuck, man?
It ended and I was like, yes.
weird. Not what I was expecting. So, Casey, listen, the things I really need to say about this movie are going to be a bit spoilery, because I feel like I will rant a bit. So, Casey, please watch this movie.
Yeah.
And we need a Casey list.
Yeah.
I'll do a cure for Gregory or a cure for Daniel.
Daniel.
Do you not know your own name?
and listeners, also, you are on the clock, because when we do talk about this after Casey has seen it, it's going to be spoiler heavy.
All right. I thought it was so good. I think I put it like 4 stars. I don't think it's like masterpiece or anything, but I soaked up the atmosphere. I soaked up the cinematography. I thought
there's some really great shots.
100%. And I was always on board with the, like, I'm cool to just watch him wander around and find a clue or two, whether or not he does or not. I was always on board for it
next week.
and the more I think about it afterwards, the more I'm like, this, it all adds up. Like, I don't look at this movie and think like I really want to know all the things that were like really dumb and stuff, because I agree it's like a silly movie, but there's a thing about, so one of the things I tried to say in my little mini review was like,
yeah,
sometimes there's, and I hate using the word pretentious, but
yeah,
sometimes there is a brand of, and I keep not wanting to say pretension,
right?
But like when I
saw, you just said it twice.
I know,
because
when I saw
that's probably why you're being led to that one.
Yeah. That Tom Ford movie from Nocturnal Animals.
I keep wanting to call it Intolerable Animals.
Yeah, there is a certain
close enough.
There's a certain type of kind of like, you know, like I'm gonna go with this because you're going for it and I love it and I don't care. Like I don't think that this movie is up its own butt in the way that like. Was off-putting to me. I was just like, no, man, fucking commit to this. This is great.
This movie is up its own butt, and it's cool.
And I
up
love
there.
It. And I love it.
There's some neat stuff.
No, I can't.
You're getting my butt, too.
Yeah, go for it. I was like, a day or two after I watched it, I was like, I want to watch that again.
Nice. All right. This is very interesting, very divisive.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm in the minority. Like, this thing did not get good reviews.
Because
so.
It isn't good.
No, everybody is wrong. Everybody's wrong.
And I do love that stance. I do love a good, no, fuck everybody else.
Yeah.
This could be your
this
Chappie.
This is your Chappie.
Yeah. This is my Chappie. It's great.
Now,
it's great.
Some of the things that happened in this movie, I was like, yeah, that's so stupid. In a way that I was just like, this movie has a what? I love.
I need to know what it was. Because I'm trying to think of like, I get that some of it is silly, but I'm like, what was so dumb? I don't like. It was just, it was entertaining, and
you have to watch this immediately, Casey. So
I'm
talking about this next week.
Like, yeah,
it's
like,
oh
cute.
Boy,
yeah,
right. Good, yeah, yeah.
Well, at like in the second movie, it becomes there's dumb stuff.
Uh-huh.
More of the dumb stuff to me is in that chunk of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care where they put the dumb stuff as long as it's in there.
All right,
man.
Casey.
Yeah.
You're going to have to.
I'm in.
Yeah. Cure for Wellness. I'm into it. I'm into
Check
it.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Anything else before Film Roulette? You guys?
Like super quick, I watched the rest of The Keepers, and I just wanted to ask her, did you finish up The Keepers?
I did.
Greg, did you watch any
no.
more of The Keepers? You didn't?
Not yet.
You're missing out. It's great.
I'm definitely I'm watching it.
I watched also last night. It was Miles' turn to pick a movie.
Yeah.
To preface, I did not pick this movie.
Right.
So we watched about half of that Beauty and the Beast movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear.
Because you know she had a Disney childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I don't think I've seen the cartoon.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling. I'm not sure if the live action is a shot for shot remake of the cartoon, but it has that feeling because it's very dead feeling.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Right.
Just.
Damn.
Just awful.
Right.
And that's all I have to say about
Fair
it.
Fair enough.
Oh, except for I don't know if Emma Watson, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yes, Emma Watson. I don't know if she can sing.
Right.
I don't think she can because she's got some heavy lifting to do singing wise.
Yeah.
Her vocals are so clearly produced. So
I can't fucking stand that.
So densely produced that everybody else, like, say what you will about Josh Gad, he has got a goddamn voice on him.
Uh-huh.
Like that guy can sing. And him and everybody else is really just doing a fucking wonderful job of singing songs that actually aren't that bad composition wise. But she is very weak and very produced. It's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. Damn.
Beauty That's all I got on that.
I'll throw in one other like really, really brief. It's not even a discussion, but I have been watching cause it's on Netflix. I've been watching a lot of the real Ghostbusters.
Nice.
You have been watching a lot.
Quite a bit of that, and because my daughter thoroughly enjoys it.
I love that.
This is how you know you're raising your child right.
Well, listen, she watches it. She focuses on it more than she does Dora or some other shit, right? She really watches Ghostbusters. And a day or two ago, she was inconsolable, freaking the fuck out. Didn't want up, didn't want down, cry. Nothing Athena and I were doing. She was just like, just having the worst time. We didn't know why. And as she was sobbing deeply into Athena's shoulder, I just was like, And I put on the real Ghostbusters. And the Ghostbusters theme song came on. The tears immediately stopped. She whipped around and stared at the TV. And the tears are still fresh on her cheeks. And it just turned into a smile.
Nice.
And her mouth hanging open. And she just watched the episode.
That's
and
amazing.
I was like, I think I'm done parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Figured it out. I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah. Nailed it. Ghostbusters song makes my daughter happy. Yeah. I feel pretty good.
Nice.
Well, listen, Bustin makes her feel good.
That's right. Makes us all feel good.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then I guess it's time for
Film and that cartoon holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Film roulette time. Let's do it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to see something good this week. Casey got to pick whatever he wanted to see. It was a winner's choice week, but the loser has to see something that we have picked as the punishment film of the week. This week it was the new Pirates film. Greg saw that and I joined in because I cheated last week. But the loser gets to give the winner an album to listen to for the rest of the week. We're talking about a Prince album that I picked as a not so punishment pick, and we'll talk about that later. But first, Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales, directed by Johan Ronning and Espen Sandberg. Captain Jack Sparrow is pursued by an old rival.
Are we doing the winner's choice movie first?
Oh, I forgot.
That's how we do
things.
Seems
like the way we do things.
Yeah, sorry. I had it open and I jumped right into Pirates.
That's fine. Whatever you like.
More on that later. You'll find out how that plot ends is a bit. I was just doing a cliffhanger. Casey, you watched whatever you wanted to see this week.
Big time.
So tell me what it was that you watched.
Okay, well, I went a little out of left field here.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple of things that I was going to pick up on. Hold on 1 second. I just need a pronunciation here.
Okay.
Yes, okay. So my wife, as I said, I guess she's been picking a lot of the movies lately. She wanted to see a movie. It's not a Studio Ghibli thing, mm-hmm. but it's, I guess, sort of close in tone anyway. It's a movie called Kimi no Na wa, and it is, the translation roughly is called Your Name.
Yes.
This is the movie I saw. It's a movie from 2016. Mm-hmm. It is an animated film.
This movie got a ton of buzz and people were saying like huge things about this, and I have been dying to see it, and this is another case of like why I should have just watched it this week.
Yeah.
But directed by Makoto Shinkai, and Letterboxd describes the film as high schoolers. Mitsuha and Takai are complete strangers living separate lives, but one night they suddenly switch places. This bizarre occurrence continues to happen randomly and the two must adjust their lives around each other.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yes. The thing about this movie is that it is so wonderful.
Yeah. I've just been hearing nothing but amazing things about it.
It's so good. And there's moments in it where you're kind of like, I wonder if this is what the lake house is like. Because there's elements of it that are, from what I understand of the lake house, and full disclosure, I've never seen the lake house.
Mm-hmm.
I know everyone says, what? You really must see the lake house. But it's got elements of like these two people whose lives inexplicably switch.
Yeah.
And they become each other. And right. they realize this, so they start to communicate with each other through their phones. I'm going to stay very spoiler light on this.
Okay.
Although there's more plot elements that aren't, it's not that spoilery, but I just don't want to ruin anything for anyone. This movie, it's like a romantic comedy, and also, light sci-fi and fantasy. Sorry, I just switched off my mic. and all of those elements mesh so perfectly. It's life affirming and so sad and so sweet. I have a hard time because, again, it's one of those movies that's so sweet and special that I don't want to ruin anything about it.
Right.
But I really, really insist that you must see this movie because
it's animated tone wise. Is it a drama? Is it having comedy to it? Is it fantasy?
It holds itself.
Obviously, there's a fantastical element, but like
it holds itself tonally. Primarily as a romantic comedy.
Amazing.
And succeeds fully in that respect. And then. I wouldn't even say that tonally it shifts, although it becomes a much sadder film, but not even in an emotionally manipulative way. Just the events lead you to these places emotionally and come by them, you know, very honestly.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not a lot that I actually even want to say about it, but I do want to urge everybody to see it because it really did something nice for me. I'm kind of having a, my family's having a shitty time right
now.
Mm-hmm. And it did something really nice for me.
Yeah. Did you watch it with Miles?
Yeah.
Did she like it?
She loved it. Yeah, she absolutely loved it.
In terms of like that sort of like body switch stuff, is it more
Vice Versa or 18 again?
Yeah.
You've got all the charm of Kurt Cameron.
I was thinking like father, like son.
But all the Judge Reinhold you can handle from Vice Versa.
Yeah. Is it more straightforward in the telling of how that happens, or is it a bit more like artistic, like I'm trying to think like how science-y, fiction-y does it get, or is it more just kind of like this thing happened and now we're just going with it?
It's weird. It's almost like it takes a very fantastical thing that happens and then treats it like it's real life.
Yeah.
You know, like the characters sort of react to this thing happening in a very practical manner. And then you start, the plot sort of deepens and you find out kind of why it's happening and how it affects them how it changes them as people.
Okay.
And how learning someone else from the inside, you know, fundamentally changes you and kind of broadens your outlook. Mm-hmm. Fucking just see this movie. It's so good.
Awesome.
It's so good.
Your Name?
Your Name. Or Kimi no Na wa.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see this movie really bad.
Yeah, you have to.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a movie that I was so excited to talk about, I just couldn't wait. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Jack Sparrow is pursued by an old rival, Captain Salazar, who, along with his crew of ghost pirates, have escaped from the Devil's Triangle and are determined to kill every pirate at sea. Jack seeks the Trident of Poseidon, a powerful artifact that grants its possessor total control over the seas in order to defeat Salazar. Johnny Depp, Javier Bardem, Jeffrey Rush, and many more. Mm-hmm. In this film, a lot of returning people from earlier. I believe the last film did not have Keira Knightley or Jeffrey Rush, or some of them left for a movie or two, I think.
Sure.
Yeah. Here's the thing about the Pirates movies.
Yes.
The first one. No, here's,
no,
the here's
first
the thing.
One's good.
The, when
well,
they announced the first one,
I feel
was,
like the other ones I've been so problematic, it'd be hard to watch the first one now.
I've been meaning to go back to it, but when the first one was announced and when it was like, we're making a Pirates of the Caribbean movie,
everyone was like,
it was
what?
Like, why? I don't know why you'd do that. That's a really weird idea. Yeah. I really enjoy that one, and I think
it's for, a great, it's a great fun,
it's a great roller coaster movie. Yeah, fucking, yeah, exactly. And at the time, there wasn't a ton, like, I feel like what that movie is visually and kinetically and entertainment wise, I feel like it was almost an anomaly at that. It was like a weird sort of really big budget movie like that. People kind of wanted that, and it hit at the right time.
Yeah.
And then they made a bunch more.
Right.
And then they were like, let's get really deep into the characters and really deep into all these things going on that I didn't care about.
Right. Yeah, no, just terrible.
And then, so when this movie was announced, the directors and I guess the screenwriters were kind of saying, like, we're going to go back a little bit and try and recapture some of that first film magic.
Uh-huh.
They kind of wanted it to be a bit more of that Looney Tunes roller coaster, just having fun.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe, swashbuckling.
Mm. Swashbuckling.
I'm sorry, I really enjoyed the way you said that.
Swashbuckling.
Swashbuckling. The Pirates. A swashbuckling.
So that's, I guess, what they were trying to do.
Mm.
I did not like this movie. Moving on. No, it's kidding.
And done.
And done.
Sweet.
This movie for me was it was very like convoluted. The plot is so dumb, and I don't care. And there's this the one of the big problems with this movie is that sword of Poseidon thing, which is like all these people are after this sword, and they never really give you like a ton of interesting reasons for you to want to care why they need to get it. There's all these things going on in different places of this movie, and I guess Johnny Depp is being used a little bit more as like in the first movie where he's sort of coming in the edges of the story.
Yeah, he wasn't the center.
He's
piece.
Not the center.
Well, I mean, he can, well, you know.
I find him
more
quite
ensemble.
Grating in these movies.
Yeah, yeah. That's the fun thing of him doing this character burnt out a long time ago.
Yeah, and they kind of try and they have a couple that's more of the center of this movie, and they're boring.
Yeah. Is it Orlando Bloom? Is he back?
He's in there, but he's not the center,
he's
super center, no.
Oh, no?
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of about like all these different parties trying to get the Sword of Poseidon so that they can master the seas or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sets off this chain of events. There's these ghost dudes who are racing after him a lot. And it all leads up to like an underwater battle at the end of the movie. There's a spinning guillotine.
Spinning guillotine.
And I was like, why'd they build it like that? Because there's a scene where Jack Sparrow's like on the guillotine gonna get murdered, and then like something hits the building that it's on, and then everything falls, and he just starts spinning around in circles, and the knife keeps coming up to his neck, the blade. And it was just like
the
what?
Wild Boys video.
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
Greg, did you love it?
I didn't see this movie, Dan.
Oh.
Just you, babe.
Nice. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I wasn't intending to have an evil plan of not seeing it the whole week.
Yeah.
But then, I was supposed to go last night, but then I had to work for 14 hours, and I lost my opportunity, but I saw that through Slack channel bullying, you were definitely going to go. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going.
That's
fine. Because I can't anymore. And I tried to watch a pirated copy, but... No dice on my tablet.
That's fine.
And I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be okay with this.
No worries.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan deserves it.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm glad that you saw this pirate movie.
Yeah, it's...
It's long, right?
It's no, not that long.
No.
Not as long as the other ones. It's like 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
It is short for these.
Yeah. Maybe 2:10. I don't know.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Did it get back to like action movie of the first one? Adventure movie? Because they got really like... they try to be heady and spiritual or something.
Yeah.
Not spiritual, but like really, what's the word I want? Things got more fantastical.
No, this is fantastical.
Well, that's what I want. At World's End and stuff like that, they really got...
people got octopuses for beards.
Wasn't that like in the second one, though? Oh. I feel like they went straight to there in the second one.
Possible.
Yeah, no, right away in the second one, things started to get a little weirder. And then I guess the third one is where I really checked out. And they were...
The first one's pretty weird, though.
I guess.
I mean, people zombies are getting forks in their eyeballs.
Yeah,
no.
That's fine. And it was like cartoonish.
Yeah.
But then it got like...
I feel like it's always been pretty cartoony.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like they got into this weird territory that was trying to be...
They definitely were trying to build the like mythos a little bit more.
Maybe that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they were trying to kind of like reach out to the edges of the map with like, here's all these different people and different like backstories, and yeah, they all have different intentions, and it muddied for me.
Yeah.
And this movie doesn't bring it back to a place that you want it to be.
How exhausting is it watching him do this character still?
Does he seem sad? I feel like he must seem.
He does.
Like
it doesn't
sad.
Feel the same as
no.
it did before. He's older, obviously. I don't know. It's fine.
Didn't they young him up? Did they do a Marvel?
No.
Didn't they young him
like
up?
It.
Wasn't there some scene where he's all younged up?
This movie has faded so fast.
Yeah.
Literally, I remember the guillotine scene is the only one where they start to try and like recapture the Looney Tunes nature. But even then, I was like, this is dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
The fight underwater at the end of the movie, they kind of like create a... There's like a lot of like... air whooshing around under water, so there's like parts of the underwater where they're not underwater and they're like crossing over into the underwater like in a bubble kind of thing.
That
and it's like
kind
of
cool.
It's kind of neat looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I think you can get enough out of these at this point that you're just like, that was neat. That's okay. It's the action in this one's a little bit choppy. I just found like a lot of the motivations aren't there. I didn't care about any of the characters. I just want it to be fun, and it never really gets there for me. And I mean, I don't know enough about the ones after this. Like, I'm my memory is so hazy. The other ones, I can't say if it's like better than the last couple or not.
Yeah.
It's just another one. It's another Pirates
another
movie.
Yeah, great.
If you liked them,
I don't.
You'll probably like this one. I think Matt Brown, fan of the series, had a fine time
is
here.
Is he a fan of the series?
Yes.
He's the fan of the series.
I think he gave this one like 3 or 3.5, and he was like, it's enjoyable. And I was like, I'm glad that you enjoyed it because
I know
somebody should.
I'll put it on when it's on Netflix. I know I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then I won't finish it.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
I need to fall asleep immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
There I go.
There you went.
Yes.
Yes, it all worked out.
It did.
Uh-huh.
So we got a roll after we talk about a punishment.
Yeah, yeah. You're all over the place.
Yeah.
The Pirates have scrambled your brain.
Yeah, scrambled.
Yeah.
So I gave you guys an album to listen to this week because recently I started diving into the Prince catalog after about a year, I guess, had passed since Prince's
or
a year or two. It was a year, right?
Yeah, it's about a year now.
Yeah. And so I had a friend of mine, Alex, kind of give me a bit of a handhold through a couple albums to kind of get me in there. So he gave me Controversy.
Which is a great record.
Which is a really good one to start with, I found, because it really did kind of catch me and bring me in, and then I went...
But it doesn't have, like, hits that you've heard 5,000
times. No, exactly. And then I went, I think, back a couple.
Yeah.
So I went to, like, Dirty Mind and Prince Self-Titled.
I don't really know those.
Yeah, those are good.
They are good, actually.
If you go back to his first one, not so good. But...
Okay, yeah, I haven't listened to that.
Those,
but Dirty Mind
Dirty Mind has some great songs.
Yeah, it's pretty
Prince
funky.
Has some great songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I started going forward, and I got to Parade, which is technically the soundtrack to...
Under the Cherry Moon.
Under the Cherry Moon, although, and I may be wrong about this, but I do recall hearing on a podcast and reading about it that it's not technically, like, he was trying to make a soundtrack, but then, like... kind of made his own thing and just made it an album. So it's like, some of the music is from the movie, but some of it isn't. So, I kind of fell for this album in a weird way because it's this weird pastoral sort of like all over the map interesting thing, and I really fell for it, and I was like, I wonder what these guys would think of it, because I know Casey's not a Prince guy and Greg is a Prince guy. So I wanted to get that kind of Oculus thing going here. Who's going to think what? So what did you, how did you guys experience it? What did you think? Let's go to Greg. I want to wait for Casey's reaction.
I am a Prince fan, but I this album I hadn't spent any time with. I know some of the songs. Obviously, I know Kiss because it was a monster hit.
Yeah.
I know Under the Cherry Moon, and I knew New Position. But everything else is new to me. Kiss was like, Kiss is such a good pop song.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
For me,
it's fucking ridiculous. How much swagger and confidence is in that goddamn song.
That's one of those songs that, I mean, I've made no bones about it. I'm not a Prince guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of those songs. You can't deny that that's one of those songs that you listen to and you're like, I don't think somebody wrote this. I think this is just one of those pop songs that was just meant to exist.
Totally.
And then somebody made it exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at how much, because I've heard that song 1,000 times, you know? And I was surprised that every time, because I listened to them quite a few times, every time I hit Kiss, I never skipped it or anything like that. It's like, nope, let's do it.
Yeah.
And he sings the shit out of that song.
Oh, my God,
too.
It's stupid. I loved this record.
Nice.
And it is a little all over the place, but what really struck me is that this album is from 1986.
Yeah.
And it does not sound like 1986. It sounds like 1991. This sounds a lot like what pop
really
was
does.
Going to eventually catch up to.
Yeah.
Which he's done more than once.
Yeah.
So I was New Position, and like Under the Cherry Moon is a different kind of style. You
yeah.
know, and same thing with you know, Do You Lie or whatever.
Yeah.
But Life Can Be So Nice, Mountains, New Position. This is like what pop's gonna sound like in 5 years.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how.
Yeah,
how un-86 this is.
Yeah,
Which really knocked me out. And like his lyrics can be either sometimes I understand that they're serviceable to the rhythm or the song, or just like this is the tone I want. I'm not going to dig in. And then sometimes he does dig in.
Yeah. So I am very able to overlook some lyrics.
Yeah,
so I've never had a problem with that with Prince.
And I have sometimes a hard time doing that, but I kind of get that his world is a different thing.
Yeah.
But if you've got a weird enough little keyboard thing going on in there, I don't care what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's not true. Please don't be a weirdo.
Yeah.
He's got enough, like, these keyboard synth hooks that he has going on in some of these fucking tracks, or these fucking dynamite little horn licks the horn licks and Mountains.
It's such a, like, patchwork kind of thing. It's like a quilt built out of all these different things where you're like, this shouldn't flow as an album, because some of these songs are weird and aren't really like structured like a pop song, or you know, it opens and closes with kind of like instrumentals or weird sort of like thematic things.
Yeah, I don't care for the first track.
Yeah, it's not like
I generally start at New Position.
Yeah, but it's like weird that it all works so well for me, and I definitely, it was an album that I was like, the first time I heard it, I thought there's some good songs in here, but this is just interesting. And then I kept thinking like, what about that album again? And I kept putting it on. I was like, no, I
and
really
it
like
steam.
This.
It takes a few runs. It picked up steam for me.
Yeah.
To the point where now it's just, I really, and then I went on a big Prince run.
Yeah.
Because it blows my mind. It blows my mind when you look at
the cats hitting over things.
Yeah. The run.
Yeah.
When you talk about album runs, and I didn't realize how every year he kind of is here. So, Controversy is in 81, and it's very good, but
so
doesn't
good.
Like blow him up. But then in 82 is 1999.
Yeah.
And that's got 1999 on it. It has Little Red Corvette on it.
Yeah.
It has fucking Delirious on it, which is like, people are like, oh, what is that? And you know that song.
Yeah.
It's so catchy. And then 1984 is Purple Rain, which is a masterpiece. Then 1985 is Around the World in a Day. That's Raspberry Beret and all that shit.
Yeah.
1986 is this. 1987 is Sign of the Times. 1988 is Love Sexy. That is a fucking remarkable run.
Yeah.
Every year he drops
and
like what could be considered the best album of his career.
Yeah, and even some of the weirder ones like Around the World, where it's like he's getting out of where he usually is here. It's like, this is still interesting, though.
It's really accessible. It's a very good album.
Casey.
Yeah. So anyway, I just was really, I had a big Prince week, and thanks for offering this album up, which is the one in the middle of his crazy run that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And now I love.
Yeah.
And Casey loves it too. I have no idea what Casey's going to say. Both things will surprise me.
I feel like he did.
Both things will surprise me.
It's all you, pressure's on you.
Yeah. With the exception of a couple of songs that I recognize as having some merit, the rest of this album is just a bunch of first drafts. It's just a bunch of first draft bullshit. And somebody who is so impressed with himself.
I never get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's dumb and arrogant. And has very little right to be arrogant. with a couple of exceptions where I'm like, this is interesting pop songwriting, and you can't deny that this is, that these moments of this song are well crafted, but it's just too, to borrow a phrase from earlier in the podcast, up its own ass and not enough care was taken to write a song. Like, it just relies on being funky. and I don't think that makes a song. Like, I think that it's like going like, oh, well, like metal music, like metal, like super hard metal.
Mm-hmm.
It can have all of the fucking awesome riffs, but if they're not crafted properly or arranged properly, the movement doesn't, of the song, it just doesn't make it. It's just not right. Funk for the sake of funk is just gross.
But it's interesting,
and that's what this is,
because I feel like so much of this album is not that funky.
No, yeah.
For me, I'm surprised at how little funky.
Like a little
pocket
of pop and stuff like that that I feel like is so not in the. I don't know how to determine exactly, but not wheelhouse, but like this just is literally the polar opposite of what you enjoy, I think, as a music listener.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But on this album, it's not that which I usually don't enjoy about Prince. It's
It's the remarkably talented man doing the thing you dislike the most. So, like, the fact that you don't just straight up despise it is, I think, a credit to Prince's ability.
Perhaps. Yeah. It's just the things that I don't respect about this album are its, if there's a lot of first draft feeling on this.
But also, these songs are meant to do things to a listener. Like, there's a purpose for this music that I think is not a purpose you look for in music.
Quite possibly.
You know what I mean?
I would agree with that. Like, because, people are massive Prince fans.
Yeah.
They get it. I don't get it.
Yeah. And
it sounds lazy, and it sounds, just...
I wouldn't peg this as the Prince album for you. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was going to introduce you to the world, I think it would be through a mix, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it would be the best way to kind of give you something.
I think that's absolutely correct, because there are songs like Raspberry Beret and stuff like that where I'm like, see, this is a crafted pop song.
Yeah,
yeah.
But this... An album like this is a good representation of what I don't like about Prince, is that, and he writes, like, it's like all of these songs are written by a frilly little 14-year-old boner. and that's a bummer to me, because I think it undercuts the artistry. Like, Prince as a guitarist, he might be one of my favorite guitarists, because to hear him fucking rip off a solo that you can tell he's just sitting there going, I guess I'll fucking play it the best solo now. that blows my mind. And I'm kind of hard to please when it comes to guitar solos. So somebody who has his spectacular amount of talent and easy charm when it comes to being a musician. Mm-hmm. Stuff like this just seems that much more lazy.
Yeah. To me. I mean, it's a little on the nose, but I feel like if you were going to spend some time with the record, it's probably Purple Rain. That or 1999, but probably
I'd like
Purple
to,
Rain.
I'd like to because again, respecting him as much as I do as a guitar player and as a not just guitar player, musician.
Oh, like, yeah,
he fucking does everything.
Yeah,
and I love his megalomaniacal approach to music. I would just think that it would yield better results.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do understand where you're coming from because I also feel like on the grand thing, the grand scheme of things with Prince albums, there's a lot of them that I'm really into, and a lot of them I'm like, there's stuff on this that I don't care about.
And it has taken me years to become more and more of a Prince fan. It just like I just got worn down by it a little bit, or more and more. I figured out more and more about how to like it or what to allow. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but it took a long time. Yeah. Like I like the hits. Like who doesn't like When Doves Cry? You know? But
Doves.
I don't. Yeah, they
Doves
hate it.
They hate it.
Yeah. It makes them cry.
Yeah. That Doves' parents can't stand it. It just it's one of those things that over time I appreciated more and more. But there's something about a lot of the maybe it's nostalgia too helps, but seeing a bit of the artistry of the pop music of the '80s, like I have a bigger appreciation. Like I'll listen to more of it now than I ever would have, you know.
And yeah,
kind of dig like, wow, this is it's really hard to craft a pop song like this.
And, yeah,
you know, when you're shooting for the radio and everything is swung at the radio, this isn't necessarily swung at the radio. It's too a little
too out there,
oddball.
Yeah,
but you know, a lot of those records, it's admirable to see somebody swing so hard at 80s radio. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Anyway, I had a wonderful week, and it's going to be Prince Week next week too, probably for me.
Nice.
I'm going to keep going.
Well, are you going to give the Punishment album, or do I?
No,
get to?
I think you.
That's
I think
an interesting. I would say it's Dan.
I think so. Yeah, I didn't go to the movie.
I was like, yeah, there's
I was
that.
Like, fuck Dan. I'm going. I'm not going. You know what? Because I decided I don't want to. Oh, I just want to clarify to a friend of the show. Was it Ted?
Ted
mentioned that you had seen Premium Rush.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, what happened there was before it was deemed anything we were going to roll for, you had won passes to it, right?
Think so, yeah.
And already had seen it before it even came up.
Something
so
like that.
Dan didn't cheat then.
Yeah.
He most certainly did last week.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Exactly.
He flew in the face of all we hold dear.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm going to keep the 80s train rolling.
Please do.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to give you guys an album that I don't think is amazing track for track as an album.
Right. Please be Debbie Gibson. Please be Debbie Gibson.
It's very hard. When you want to give an album you like, it's so rough when you know there's like
when you
three
know there's
stickers
like,
on
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Or even like four or five. Like,
you try and only give perfect albums.
Yeah.
It's a bummer when you try and put up good ones.
So,
you know I'm just going to be no fun about it.
Yeah.
So this is an album that I found recently. I kind of hinted at it in the past. This was like sort of sold to me when I heard about it as this is like one of the greatest, you know, power pop albums of the 80s, sort of synth power pop post punk kind of like really poppy stuff, but has keyboards and all that by a band called New Music with a K, MUSIK.
Q Music.
New Music. it's their 1980 album. Their 1980 album From A to B.
I don't know what the fuck this is.
No, me either.
It's got a couple fucking fantastic pop songs, a couple very interesting sort of weird songs, and then a lot of other songs that are like, this is pretty good, but not as good as those other ones that are my favorites.
A to B, that's the one?
Yeah.
Dynamite.
I give it a whirl all the time just because I'm a lot of times reaching for that 80s sound. I'm like, this has some good ones on it.
I've always had a deep
It's
love
definitely
for
one
it.
Of those that's like, with these few songs on here that really hit, you think they would have been more notable. It's more of that, like, if you like that synth power pop music, like, you got to check this one out if you've never heard it kind of thing. So, New Music From A to B.
Cool.
1980.
That's neat.
Cool.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to roll.
It is.
Burr, 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 burr.
Click-a-dee-dee.
This week, Wonder Woman is coming out.
Yeah.
And they just released the embargo off of it today, which means... oh, no. Greg went to get the old die, but we got the... We got Casey the found the...
Oh, shit. You did.
Casey
oh,
found
that.
The ten,
where was it?
Ten-sided.
It was buried in a drawer in my house.
Yeah. So the embargo for Wonder Woman was released today, and the last I checked, it was like 40 or 50 reviews positive with maybe like a couple negative.
Right.
Like pretty weighty to the fresh side of the Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. So DC
guys,
could
I
have it.
I don't even know if they're going to let us see this movie because apparently they're only letting women watch it. And everyone have a problem with that.
Did you see the guy on Twitter that was like, I'm like to announce that I'm going and posted like a picture that he had purchased a ticket online?
Oh, like he was going to go and make
a
big
scene
about it?
He was like, they can't stop me because it's illegal to do that.
Was he
going to
do like a Tootsie thing? Or?
No, this fucking
idiot.
Is it
like, is it like Garp attending his mother's funeral?
Yeah. He's dressing up like an Ellen Jamesian.
Yeah.
And he will not say a word.
Yeah. No, he's just like, I'm going to go. You can't stop me. I'm a fucking baby.
If that guy happens to be a listener to this show.
I doubt it.
Stop now.
Yeah.
You are banned from our show. You suck as a human being. You don't get it at all.
The best thing that I saw was somebody was like, somebody did the classic, like, I'm sure millions of men did this that day or hundreds or whatever, but they were like,
not millions.
Yeah. Can you imagine if there was an all-man version of this movie? Movie screening of Wonder Woman, and then somebody responded and it's got like millions of retweets or whatever, but she was like, every day for women is an all man screening of Wonder Woman.
I think who was it? It was a writer that I love. She was like, they used to have that. It was called voting.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Fuck just Christ. Like it's a It's playing so many other places that you can just go see it. Don't buy a ticket to this one, you fucking baby.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Because you're not even making a not making a fucking point. You're just being a petulant idiot.
Just a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, you fucking...
And it's not even necessarily enraging. It's just sad, dude. Just,
for the love of fuck, you dumb piece of shit. You piece of shit. Yeah. It's the same pieces of shit that fucking... The Ghostbusters thing.
Yeah.
It's the exact same guy.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I saw this
fucking assholes.
I saw this wonderful meme, a GIF of the Star Trek cartoon, and it's Bones, and he's attending to someone. I don't know who it is, but the caption, somebody had captioned it, his dick fell off because a woman wrote something on the internet.
Oh man, I feel like that. There is a Twitter account called Swear Trek where they just have.
I believe that's what it's from.
Yeah. So good.
That's pretty dope. All things considered, I'm really excited and hopeful that this is. I mean, the word is out from the critics that it is looking like it's getting good reviews. So high hopes. I want it.
Trailers
to be fun.
Look fucking great, man. Yeah. I was not. When I initially heard Gal Gadot was cast as Wonder Woman, I was bummed out. Not bummed out, but I was like, I don't know. Anyway.
Oh,
I think she's been doing a really terrific job. I liked her in the
in the Fast and the Furious movie
for sure. But I was like, I don't know. She's really surprised me because she was one of the few bright spots of Batman Loves Superman. And she looks fantastic in this. The trailers are so dynamite. Yeah. Please don't suck. I really want this to be a great fucking movie.
It's one of those things where like, and Patty Jenkins, the director, did Monster, and it's like,
that's a fucking great
it's
movie.
It's all there to work. You could possibly start to pull DC out of their own ass.
Yeah. Everybody's up their
or
butts.
Whatever. Yeah. Or somebody else's ass. Yeah. Wherever DC is, it's we're good.
I feel like the general consensus.
It's in somebody's butt.
Yeah. I heard that from what I saw from the Rotten Tomato page, it seemed like people were saying like it's just you leave with a smile. It's really fun. You're gonna be entertaining and yeah. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I really want to fucking see this movie.
So we got a loser movie.
Right.
And
hard to,
yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to do a thematic pairing.
A thematic pairing. Yeah. And this is a movie that was criticized heavily at the time. And I mentioned to Greg and Casey has had a bit of a resurgence.
Yeah.
There were some screenings in Toronto and people were kind of more people than have in the past came forward to defend it.
Mostly this is a movie that people are like, well, I like the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we thought like it would be fun to not necessarily pick a punishment movie where like we're gonna crap on it, but just be like, let's check back in on this.
Yeah. But originally quite poorly received and much maligned.
By me, I did see this movie when it came out, and I just thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
yeah.
Based on a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first stab at a
female.
Feminist-driven character.
Yeah,
I don't know if the movie. I don't remember. I haven't seen the movie.
I've seen parts
of the movie and went, "That's a weird looking prosthetic, weird face." Tank Girl.
Yeah,
is what we're gonna go with because everyone hated it when it came out, but it's got some life now.
So
it's a female director, female fronted film.
Yeah. Tank Girl was part of it was the comic book embodiment of the Riot Girl movie.
Yeah. And so
and then they made a movie with Lori Petty.
If it's bad, we're gonna talk about it, and if we're surprised, we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Just still a misfire of the '90s.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Either way, Ice-T is adorable.
Yeah, as a kangaroo or something.
As a kangaroo.
All right, Casey, you're rolling for Ice-T Kangaroo and Wonder Woman.
One.
That's a one.
All right.
I am rolling.
Oh, no. I wanted to see Wonder Woman.
That is
a seven.
All right. Greg is rolling a two. That's higher than one.
It is.
Casey's the loser.
All right. Well, listen, I kind of wanted to see this again. So.
Yeah, and you were the one that saw it in the past, so you can circle back on it.
Yeah.
Is this good now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That's it for this week. On Film Roulette, and see you next Wednesday. Don't forget to go to modernsuperior.com, listen to all the shows there. Go to patreon.com/modernsuperior, pony up a couple bucks, get into the Slack channel, chat with us there. You can put links in there and we'll talk about them and then we'll talk about them on the show.
That's right, lots of stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Be sure also to check out new episodes of Surface Noise.
Yes.
With its new co-host.
Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah. I'm going to be on there once a month.
Very nice.
About if you're still listening here, I'll sneak preview of the upcoming episode that I'll be on. We're going to be discussing the new album from Paramore, After Laughter, and we're using that to springboard into a discussion about bands who completely have changed their sound. Because Paramore was a band that I did not care about, did not sound anything like their new album, and I'm kind of into their new album. Mm. So I
love Hard Times.
Yeah, it's
love
a great song.
Straight up love it.
So we're both going to bring an album by a band that totally can... released an album and completely changed their sound for that album.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So we'll do a little
cool.
and one of them may be REM's Up. If you want to,
if it's not, if I think know. People are going to be disappointed.
Yeah, it's a weird lie.
It's a weird thing to lie. Man.
Yeah. Find out if I'm lying by listening to it.
Yeah. Dan, stop winking.
Anything else before we sign off?
No, just if you're not into the Patreon thing yet, so you know, we've finished the OC.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now we're into the much sought after Prison Break Corner. Yeah. We're getting
part two. Yeah.
Yep.
There's going to be some extensive recaps, and then we're going to straight up fucking Prison Break it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and, to our Patreon listeners, we've got the Bye Bye Man thing coming.
Yeah.
It's in the pipeline. We just have to figure out a time.
And t-shirts.
I'm sorry. I am really the one holding it up. So I do apologize. And also to our premium subscribers. Yes. The t-shirts are on the way.
Yep.
And they're in the process.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, we will see you next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Goodbye, internet. And I can't think of a catchphrase to sign off with.
What was the thing we said about the dicks that
poop.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to stop recording now.
Some about shit and dicks or
something?
I'm
walking over to the button.
Dicks that shit?
Goodbye. This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.